Hansen here from NFL Red Zone. I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football in the UK.
Hello and welcome to the 5 Yard Rush Daily Fantasy Sports Show. I'm Mark Ferguson, and tonight we're talking all things NFL on Fan Team. As ever, I'm joined by my fantasy other half, Nick Owen. Nick, how are you doing?
Your fantasy other half. I like that, Mark. Obviously taken in the right context.
No,
I'm good. I'm all good. that slight bit more tired week on week, but still here, still surviving, slugging through the season.
Oh, well, you know, yeah, at least you haven't got to do that dancing anymore. So that's
well, yeah, there is that. Yeah, there is that, definitely.
So tonight, usual format. Firstly, we'll be talking about our season-long teams. And actually, I think we've got some interesting decisions to make this week. I'm looking forward to that a little bit.
Yeah. I checked my lineups earlier, Mark. I've been working today, but managed to sneak onto the laptop and check the lineups on my break. And there's some injuries that have cropped up that I really didn't want to have to deal with because they were players that were just a bit set and forget in the lineup they were in. And because of the price, I wasn't planning on taking them out.
I think most people who play this have already cracked the code of who we're talking about here, but we'll come back to it later.
Indeed.
Then we're going to run through our Week 11 Red Zone contest, create a lineup together. And then if that wasn't enough, it's that special time of the year and we may well be joined by a big man with a beard. That's right, Santa might be dropping in later. We're not sure when, though.
No, that might be happening. We might be a little bit premature on it, but it may happen. We'll have to see.
You never know. So this week on Fan Team, there's a guaranteed €7,500 prize pool Red Zone contest with a €12 entry fee and a €2,500 contest with a €2 buy-in. Those contests are for the 9, 6pm games. So that's a wonderful 3-hour DFS sweat. I'm quite looking forward to going back to that after last week having to the disappointment of going to bed in quite a good position and then waking up nowhere.
Well, I went to bed in not a great position and woke up still in not a great position. So there was not the same disappointment for me, but I do like, as much as I like the monster contests, I do like the split of the early games and the late games because I don't know about you, Mark, but I do like a little accumulator bet on the touchdown scorers and I work it exactly the same. I pick my four in the early games, I pick my four in the late games. And I do it that way because if I pick four in the early games and then one lets me down in the late games, I'd be very annoyed that I've had to wait 6 hours for that to materialise. So I like giving myself double the chance.
And you've been doing pretty well in the fumble contest, haven't you? The sort of later slates.
The fumble contests have been like my staple this season. It's the only thing that's bankrolling me at the moment, as was exactly the same result this past week where in the lower entry fumble, I had two lineups. One finished 35th out of 344 and one finished 6th. So I was quite happy with that.
Unbelievable. So there's another. So we're talking about the fumble. There's a trio of games starting after 9pm and they're the same buy-ins as the Red Zone, €2 and €12, and they've got €1,500 and a €600 guaranteed prize pool. So plenty of great money on offer there. And I think the great thing about having a fumble is if you've had a really bad Red Zone, you can just sort of console yourself and try and catch up a little bit with the fumble.
That is usually what I do, Mark, to be honest. I'm usually pretty poor in the early one, but then just seem to come to life in the late one, but it's good that you've got that option to enter both, especially because there is, if you've lost a little bit or you think, it's another contest I've got to enter, you've got that lower entry level that you can come in at and you can still enjoy the games then without stressing too much. So I like that. As much as I do like the monster contest, I do like doing the split. Even in the monster last week, I still did the fumble.
Yeah. So, and we also have back another exclusive 5 Yard Rush contest. Now, you've all had 2 weeks to practice, so we've changed it up a little bit, haven't we, this week?
We have.
So, yeah. So this week, there's a guaranteed prize pool of £200 with £50 to first, and it's a measly £1 to enter.
£1?
£1. A measly £1. But we've actually increased the number of max number of entries per user, and that's 10 now. So you can basically enter 10 lineups for £10.
Yeah.
So you can cover pretty much all your favourite plays.
Yeah. It's a good contest, like you said, Mike. We've had 2 weeks where we've had the free roll. As much as we'd love to do free rolls forever, it's not feasible because we don't have an infinite pot of money. So the free rolls were really good for people to dip the toe in the water. And I think we've seen that. There has been a lot of regular players, but we've had new people sign up as well and be a part of that. But this is the time now where, again, those free roll contests don't come round every week. If you're worried that you don't want to put £10 on a contest or enter, you know, lots of multiple entries at £1.68 or the £10 entry, then this £1, what can you? I made a joke the other week that £1.68 can barely buy you a can of Red Bull. What can £1 buy you in this day and age? Really? £1. So you might as well give it a go because you never know that you could make £50 out of £1. That's a good return on your money. Any wise investor would tell you that.
Yeah, and you only have to enter one. You'd have to enter 10. You don't have to.
That one lineup could be perfect. We saw it a couple of weeks back, mate, didn't we? Worker Cash cleaned up and he had the same lineup 4 times, but that lineup was good enough to win. It only takes one lineup.
I think we'll all be pretty annoyed if one lineup takes the top 10.
Yeah, definitely.
I think the other thing is, you know, if you want to get into mass multi-entry and stuff, I just think this is a great way to practice it because it's only £1 as opposed to like the £2 or whatever. So, or the 168 or whatever it is with the current exchange rate. So, yeah, so it should be a lot of fun. I assume like most contests, actually, if it fails, the price pool can increase, I'm guessing.
I think the 200 is guaranteed. I'm assuming, I'm guessing so,
because most of the contests do, don't they? So
yeah,
they have sort of a limit. So there you go. 10 lineups. So there's so much admin for 10 lineups, Nick. That last hour.
It's far too much. Yeah. Keep your eye on injuries. That's all we can say.
Yeah. So shall we kick off with our season-long teams? Do you want to go first?
I don't mind going first, yeah. So... Last week, I made a few changes. I think I brought Lamar Jackson in, brought in Marquise Brown, brought in Mike Evans. Mixed bag, really, across the board. Really strong again at running back with Taylor and Harris. Absolute donut from Gesicki. What is that? Zero. Mike Evans was really, really quiet for, I think, 3/4 of play and then just popped up with a score near the end, which probably saved his week for me. It's still 14.2, still not good based on what you're paying for him, but I'll take that over what he was before the score. Jackson and Brown, disappointing, I must say, against Miami. This week, the issues I've got, Mark, is there's a couple of niggling injuries throughout the lineup. Despite Gesicki's donut that he put up last week, he survives another week against the lowly Jets. Cup is on a bye. Brown and Jackson are both nursing injuries, so Brown didn't practice yesterday. Now, the injury report might have refreshed now. He may have practiced today. I don't know. In fact, I've just had a look. He missed practice Thursday, so that's not good news for me. So he's missed practice Wednesday and Thursday, apparently with a thigh injury. Jackson as well has a non-COVID related illness, which is concerning. That could be anything. It could be a stomach bug. Who knows at this stage. But Cordarrelle Patterson has been described as unlikely to play tonight by Ian Rappaport. So that is very concerning. I've essentially got 4 people, one of which is guaranteed not to be playing because he's on a bye, and the other 3 are looking a little bit concerning at the moment. So there's only so many transfers I can make, Mark. I've got 2 free transfers in the bag this week. I don't want to make too many moves because I think if Lamar had COVID, I'd be really concerned. The fact that they've said it's non-COVID related doesn't concern me quite as much. Marquise Brown is a little bit concerning that he's not practicing, but I think it's the first practice he's missed this season. So unless it's precautionary, But the changes that I am proposing to make as it stands, it's just two. So Cordarrelle Patterson makes way for CD Lamb. Cooper Kupp makes way for the returning Ja'Marr Chase, coming off a bye week. So yeah, I'm still quite confident with. I did drop a few places last week. I think I dropped this team was around 248 when we spoke last week, and I think it's around the 400s now. But it's not a massive difference. One good week will propel me back into that 200 mix, which I'm not too concerned about at this stage in the season. There's still quite a few weeks left yet to get myself back into those cash places. So, you know, it's not panic mode as it stands. But I could really do with Jackson and Brown playing again this week. I'm still not decided whether to actually keep Jackson in there or keep Brown in there or take a minus eight. I'm a bit on the fence about it.
You don't want to take a minus 16, do you?
Certainly not a minus 16, no. It would be a minus 8 at most, and then it's just weighing up whether I feel that I can reach a receiver, take that minus 8, and essentially what I'd be looking for then is minimum 15 to 20 points from them, so that it'll cushion that. Likewise, if I was to take out Jackson, I'm hoping that whatever quarterback I bring in scores 30. Really, to justify that minus eight. But yeah, it's a difficult week this week. But Patterson, it looks like he's trending in the wrong direction. He was someone that he was set and forget for me. I wasn't going to bring him out, but if he's not going to play, then I'm not going to have a body in the team that isn't doing anything. I'd rather bring in Lamb, who is red hot at the moment, and Ja'Marr Chase, who was red hot prior to going on his bye week.
It's right, so. We don't talk about this actually beforehand, or we generally don't. And we're thinking along very similar lines, Nick.
Interesting.
So Cordarrelle Patterson, I was going to take him out of my team anyway this week, regardless of whether he was fit or not, because they started using Wayne Gorman a lot more and last week. And he just, looking at him, he just didn't look right, Patterson, to me. He looked slow and cumbersome, a little bit like, he made Cam Newton look quick, I would suggest. And I don't know what it is about him. He didn't look right. Now, so I was considering, I really think that sort of, that value player has gone now for the rest of the season. But I think we've all made enough money from that first sort of price change. It's not such a big deal.
I think as well, you can find the value elsewhere now at this stage in the season. So if you're pivoting off Cordarrelle Patterson for an extra 0.5, you can pivot your way onto Michael Pittman, who's emerged as a wide receiver one. So it's not a big loss. I think a few weeks ago, I'd have been gutted to have had to make this decision. But yeah, like you said, didn't look right last week. And the injury that he seems to have picked up, it's bad enough that he's been very, very limited was actually the description. Very, very limited in practice this week, which if that is the case throughout practice and you're playing on a Thursday, that's not good. Even if you are playing, you're probably on a snap count.
So we've had a question in. This is really, it links in a lot with what we're talking about. From Ed, I have Kupp and Henderson on bye, plus Patterson and Brown injury doubts. So I would say Patterson is almost definitely out. That seems to be. And even if he was playing, would you really trust him? What would you be? You know, best 70%, something like that. Still have wild card. Would you recommend using it this week or wait until game week 12 for price rises? So that's quite a tricky one. My first thought is, where are you in the actual standings? What, you know, if you need to catch up, I would use my, I wouldn't worry too much about waiting for the game week 12 price rises because you, or, I got that the wrong way around. If you want to maintain your position, that's my first thought. Is it depends on where you are. I think.
I think it's too difficult of a question to just answer without knowing a bit more facts, Ed, on this one. Oh, also, you're at 599.
It's a 599. So you'll need to catch up.
My kind of questions would be, how many free transfers do you have this week? How much money in the bank do you have? Because that's going to determine what moves you can make. Me personally, if I had three transfers in this situation, I'd probably hold off on that wild card till next week. If I had two free transfers, I'm probably wild carding here, and I'd get rid of all four of them on a wild card.
My initial thoughts, I use the wild card. I also think about these price rises, which are coming next week or after next week. It's not as going to be as obvious where the rises are as in the first time it happened. Yeah. It was so obvious. Cordarrelle Patterson was too cheap. So, for example, and I just don't think it'll be so obvious as last time. It was quite easy for people to create an extra 15 million last time.
Yeah.
From the week six price. I don't think you're going to, I think you'll struggle to work out to create an extra 15 million last time.
Yeah.
That's my initial thought.
I think as well, the price rise is reflective of the expected performance of players between now and the end of the season. And I think we can probably guess what kind of players will be rising. You know, like you said, Mark, we knew Cordarrelle Patterson was going to go up last time. He was priced too cheap for his production at the time. You know, I think Cooper Kupp went up again. Yes. I think he was at 16. He shot up. The ones that went up, it wouldn't have come as a surprise. And I would say it's probably going to be the same kind of situation this time. I would suspect that a lot of the players that will go up are players that are you know, the owned players, the Jamar Chases and people like that. Pittman's probably going to take a big jump, I would say, to at least 16 on this next lot of price rises. So, yeah, I'm not against the wild card. Two free transfers, 2.5 million in the bank. I would wild card, to be fair.
Yeah, I personally probably would as well. I'd be looking. I'd also be looking at the ownership figures. You've got to catch up 300 spaces.
Yeah,
and so you need to be looking at some of the ownership figures and stuff, which actually leads us nicely onto, I think, what I'm doing this week. So my team moved up to 299 from 367, I think it is, and I got rid of Cordarrelle Patterson and Cooper Kupp. They're my two changes. And like you, I've gone for CeeDee Lamb, nice 7% owned, which I really liked. I've also gone for, because 299, I want to move up. I want to catch up a little bit. I've gone for a 3% DeAndre Swift.
I like Swift this week, actually. Yeah, I looked at Swift myself.
Yeah, I think his usage is kind of guaranteed. It seems like it doesn't matter whether they're ahead or behind. Generally, they're behind Detroit. He seems to get the work. I mean, I know Jamal Williams has been injured, and maybe that will change. But I think for this week, quite happy with that. And CeeDee Lamb feels like he just feels like the best value for the 16 million, that sort of range. Yeah. Also, he's, you know, even if it's only a 1 week, I don't think he will be, but even if he's only a 1 week play, he's against Kansas City, I think you would want to target them, wouldn't you? So
yeah.
So it's funny, we similar lines. The good thing about both those, I can't remember if Swift had his bye or not already. CeeDee Lamb definitely has.
Yeah, I think he has. I vaguely remember bringing in Hockenson and taking him out because he was on a bye week.
Yeah.
Never to be seen again.
Yeah. I've got four teams and I think every transfer I've done this week has been a player who's already been on a bye.
Yeah.
I think all but one or something. So, yeah. I think that's probably, if you're doing these transfers this week, that's what I've definitely looked for. Yeah. So, yeah, there we go. Season longs.
Very nice, Mark.
Nick, now time for your specialist subject on Mastermind.
Oh, yes. Here we go. Got a nice new picture there this week for the advertisement. It's a whole new balls game, not just ball. You can see what they've done there, Mark. as always, support for the 5 Yard Rush Daily Fantasy Sports Show is brought to you by Manscaped, the best in men's below the waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision engineered tools for those all important family jewels. They recently launched the fourth generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0, all across Europe. Many great features to this tool. Not least that it is designed specifically for the purpose of protecting your important mail area. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. We do have an exclusive offer for you, which will guarantee you 20% off and free worldwide shipping at checkout if you use the code 5YARD. So if this is something that you do want to get your hands on, get over to manscaped.com, 5YARD at the checkout, and that will guarantee you 20% off and free worldwide shipping. When I said something that you want your hands on then, you guys didn't see, but Mark did snicker a little bit.
I'm a child.
That is your head in the gutter, quite clearly, Mark, there.
You'd think after all these weeks, I wouldn't find this so funny. but there you go. Anyway, so shall we move on to week 11? So what we're going to do is I'm going to share my screen. We're going to pick a fan. We're going to pick a lineup for this week's Red Zone. Let me find the tab. There it is. Da, da, da. Hopefully that's the right one. Yes, that's the one.
You're getting too good at this, Mark.
Yeah, well, it's yeah. Well, remember the first week I shared completely the wrong screen and stuff. So anything more than that is an improvement, isn't it? So let's start. As ever, you've got £135 million to spend. I've noticed that Josh Allen is a little bit cheaper than last week. I think he was about 24, wasn't he, last week? Something like that. So he's the most expensive quarterback.
Yeah, I don't think he had the game that everyone was quite expecting though last week, did he? It wasn't an awful game, but he didn't.
He was okay. 20 points, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he'll have scored his price there. Yeah. I don't think he'll have met value. So, yeah.
So he's most expensive.
Not but, going there this week, I don't think.
Aren't you? Because it's a really great matchup against the Colts.
It is, but I do think there is some good value that lies further down the list this week.
I don't know. I wonder if you're thinking along the same lines as me. Are you? But before we get going, are you even considering playing Cam Newton?
I mean, he galvanised the offence, didn't he, last week? It didn't really surprise me that that was the outcome of the game. If you don't pick Cam, you aren't doing it right. I don't know, Dan. I don't know if I'll be picking Cam. I feel like we've seen enough Cam Newton in New England last year. I know he had a couple of touchdowns last week, but I dare say I will have a lineup that will have him in because of his price. And I think it's a nice stack with some of the guys from the Panthers. It probably makes me more attracted to having someone like Christian McCaffrey in, who I usually don't look at because of his price tag. But yeah, I don't know. I think he's priced well, but in Washington in recent weeks, I think the defense has picked up in recent weeks against quarterbacks. You've not been anywhere near as bad as you were early season. So it concerns me a little bit, that matchup.
Yeah, so I haven't heard a word you said because I've been just reading this comment back and forth.
Should do a dance while doing the advert.
I don't know what that's going to increase the sales of.
If I did a dance whilst doing that advert, Manscaped would be paying me commission.
Yeah. or we'd be banned.
Yeah, one or the other. Yeah, or we wouldn't have any viewers. Could go one of a few ways. It's a trap. Don't play Cam, says Jack. I probably agree with you there, Jack. I'm tempted to say the same. I think I'll have him in a lineup just for exposure, but I tend to agree. I do think it is a trap. I think a fair few will fall foul of it this week as well.
Yeah, I think he might be popular. The thing about the Washington defense is I just wonder whether or not this version of it that we saw last week, which, you know, Tampa Bay weren't particularly in that game at any moment. The Mike Evans touchdown gave him a bit of a chance, but it wasn't a game where Washington felt very comfortable. And I wonder whether this version of the defense is actually what they should be, because when they came into the season, they were much vaunted, you know, expected to be top five, meant to be the strength of the team, and they haven't been. And I just wonder whether, ironically, without Montez Sweat and Chase Young, whether this is actually the what the Washington defense should be. It's actually living up to some potential. And yeah, I've got an interesting stat about CMC, but we'll do that when we'll talk about that when we talk about running backs, as you mentioned him. Now, can I interest you in a little bit of Tua?
Yes. Yes, you can. Okay. Yes, absolutely.
I thought that was going to be the pick.
Yes. If he's healthy, if he's good to go, I don't know. Is he trending in that direction? Yeah. Does it look like? I think he has been named as the starter if he's fit. Just having a look at the injury report, and he doesn't look like he's flagged on there today. So it looks like all systems go for Tua. Yeah, I like that. He's coming up against the worst defense in football. Good receivers at his peril in Gesicki, Waddle. It's a nice stack that you can build there. It's not too pricey. I like Gaskin as well this week, though, because I know you say no, but we were here last week with Devin Singletary against this same defense, and Devin Singletary, everyone said, do not play him. And did he score? He didn't ball out, but did he score? If Devin Singletary can get over the line against this Jets defense, then Miles Gaskin, sell me Miles Gaskin. He's been poor this season versus last season, at least. But yeah, it's a very, very porous defense, this by New York. And I'm sure Miami will run the ball a bit.
My game theory gland is twitching away because of Gaskins. I think you would never play Gaskins if under any other circumstance. And I just think I think if everybody's going to play Gaskins, then the Tua stack just, I think, is the business. I really do, from a game theory perspective. You know, we're not in the business of trying to predict what's actually going to happen in these games. We just want to pick DFS lineups. And I think Miami haven't run well against anybody, particularly. You know, the short passing game is their running game. So we've got a little bit onto running backs there whilst we're looking at our quarterbacks, I know.
Yeah,
so
we'll definitely come back to
some of them
because there's a fair bit going on in the comments there about the running backs.
I've got a few things to tell those people in the comments as well.
Yeah, I was just thinking exactly the same thing myself, Mark, as well, actually, especially on the CMC thing. I'm intrigued to know this stat, and I think I know what it's going to be. But in terms of the quarterbacks, there's some of the cheaper quarterbacks that appealed to me this week. Tua was one. Dare I say Jalen Hurts, actually, this week. Saints.
He's not a cheaper one.
No, he's not a cheaper. He's cheaper than some of the guys higher up. But I couldn't actually believe when I filtered this by points scored, Jalen Hurts has had more points than Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, all of those quarterbacks on that list this week. And he's not priced cheap as such. Is the fifth most expensive. But I think good reason for that. In more recent weeks, I'm talking the last 3 weeks specifically, Saints have been statistically the worst team versus quarterbacks. He's a very, very consistent scorer, Jalen Hurts, because of the fact he's that dual threat quarterback. I think that's one of the reasons why running backs have just been completely irrelevant, really, in Philadelphia this year, because Jalen Hurts does a lot of the work himself with his legs. Saints are also ranking the worst versus wide receivers in the last 3 weeks. And there's a lot of talk of, you know, whoever Latimore shadows, they don't tend to have a good week. And statistically, that's probably factual. AJ Brown had a quiet week last week. I think Mike Evans had a fairly quiet week the week when they played Tampa Bay and beat them. I think there was, you know, definitely played Atlanta. Kyle Pitts, Russell Gage were kept fairly quiet. So if you were starting Hurts, you can put together a nice cheap stack with the likes of Dallas Goedert, who's essentially wide receiver two there. If you don't want to play Devonta Smith, maybe even a Quez Watkins comes into play.
Old favourite of the show, Quez Watkins.
Old favourite, yeah. All season long favourite, yeah. Forgotten man. So he even comes into equation for me there if I was to start Hurts. But yeah, I like Hurts. Tua, you mentioned. I hate myself for saying this, but Jimmy Garoppolo is another one this week. I think if you're playing Debo, I don't think he's a bad play. It felt like watching the Rams game that San Francisco threw the ball five times. That's how it felt watching it. It just felt like they ran every play, but he still came out of the game with 15.38 fantasy points. He's costing $17.1 million this week. Jacksonville are a worse defense. So, yeah, there's a few plays, I think, there.
Can we go even more dumpster diving here?
Ooh, well, dive deeper then. Go on.
Yeah, what about Tyrod Taylor against the worst ranked Tennessee Titans? Well, worst ranked against wide receivers, fantasy points wise.
Not for me.
Not for you, no?
Not for
okay,
me.
Fine.
I just don't have the same faith that other people seem to have in Tyrod Taylor. He's not a bad quarterback, but he's never nailed down a job anywhere he's been. He's been displaced in jobs.
I also think that Brandon Cooks is actually going to get quite a lot of steam this week. And if you're going to do that, then I think you should consider it. Especially if you're playing, say, 10 lineups and in a 5-yard rush exclusive contest, maybe have one lineup of that.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's again a gameplay sort of thing.
Yeah. I think you can play Cooks, but not play him quite, you know, with confidence, because what we know about Houston is they throw the ball to Brandon Cooks. I think you can get the points there without having to sacrifice at quarterback, because Tyrod, you know, you could get Brandon Cooks with 6-7 receptions for 100 plus yards. You might get a score out of him. But then you don't want Tyrod Taylor with 198 passing yards and 2 interceptions. It's just a no for me.
Okie doke. So we've got to pick a quarterback for our lineup. I think it's probably going to be Tua, isn't it?
Slot him in. I like him.
Yeah, we'll put in Tua. That kind of automatically means we have to pick Waddle and Gesicki, but we'll come back to that in a minute. Okay, running backs. Christian McCaffrey with £3 million price difference at the top there, extra. Now, it's kind of been alluded to a little bit here already on the comments, but his splits when Cam Newton plays are pretty terrible with or without. So, like, let me try and work this out. Yeah, so his PPR points drop from, like, 26.9 to 19. His rushing TDs per game of 0.8 to 0.3. It just in pretty much every single statistic that matters, if Cam Newton plays, CMC does not do that well fantasy-wise. So at 22.7, as has already been mentioned in the comments, I think he's overpriced as well.
Interesting.
Yeah, pretty much every stat he does worse when Cam Newton's in.
Do we not think that, and is this based on historical data as well?
Yeah, all the games they've played together.
Yeah.
So obviously this version of Cam may not be the same as the version they played with before.
That's the route I was going to go down with that, is that this is a different Cam, and is he still going to vulture some touchdowns? Yes, but I think at this stage in his career, I don't think he's the same athletic Cam Newton that we had when he was MVP Super Cam. He's still a big quarterback. He still finds his way into the end zone, but has he become more of a drop back pocket pass kind of guy now? I don't know. It's his first stint back. Wait, it's his first start back, shall we say, in his second stint in Carolina. So I don't know. The thing with McCaffrey, stats aside, 22.7 is a lot to pay for a running back who, when you compare with some of the guys, I mean, he had 26 points last week, but when you compare with some of the guys around him, I think some of the running backs, like, if you're going to pay up for running back, I think the likes of Dalvin Cook is, whoever he plays, I think he's almost matchup proof because he contributes so heavily in Minnesota's ground and passing attack. You know, I think Jonathan Taylor is getting to that point as well now. He could come up against a really good run defense, but because of how he's being used now, he could still score you 20 points against a good run defense. Not out of the out of the equation. Jack mentioned AJ Dillon. I know he was big on AJ Dillon last week.
Yes. He was right for all the wrong reasons. He was playing him because of all the snow, and then there was no snow, but he still did well.
Yeah.
And he's been victory lapping that all week.
I like the play, especially against Minnesota. I think 17.3 is about what I want to pay for a running back. I'd be happy with that. And I think you can go cheaper elsewhere this week and actually stack quite high value at running back and feel confident in doing it. I like AJ Dillon this week. I mean, we mentioned Gaskin. Jets D, awful. 7 touchdowns the last 3 weeks against running backs. 20 in total on the season as well. And I mentioned about that murky Bills backfield with Moss, Singletary. You know, Josh Allen is RB1. Everyone put the hand up and got a touchdown last week. Yeah. It seemed like whoever wanted one got one.
So, but nobody was good enough to play and, you know, or scored enough. And just look at his history, Miles Gaskin. This feels like Adam Trautman week from last year to me, when everybody was like, play Adam Trautman that one week. And that's what it feels like with Gaskins.
It's off. It's not pretty reading. But the other thing I will say in Gaskins' favour is, despite lack of production, he is still by far and away the majority carrier, majority snap count, shall we say, in Miami. And because of the fact that it's such a glaring weakness in New York Jets defense, do they just have a week where they say, do you know what, we're just going to try and run the ball here a little bit, we're going to get Gaskin involved, we're going to get him touching the ball, you know, help Tua out a little bit. Gaskin could have a big game. Are you happy paying 13.5 mil? I probably will have some exposure, but yeah, I mean, AJ Dillon, like Jack said, he's high on my list this week. Dalvin Cook is another one. I just think you can play him against anyone.
I think for me, the best play is not showing on here because he's not actually listed as available. And I think he's coming back. And that is Nick Chubb against the Lions. I think that's the best play. Assuming he's back. Otherwise, Dearness Johnson is the best play for me. But I think he's the best. He'd say he's currently red on Fantin, but I think he's going to be green soon. And for me, he's got the best matchup. Some of those players you mentioned are very middling matchups, whereas Chubb is like in the top three matchups. So I think I really like him. I also like whoever ends up starting about Kamara and Ingram against the Eagles. Again, another matchup, I think, which is, you know, very nice.
Yeah.
Kamara's a bit expensive.
You mentioned Swift in your season long, Mark. I actually like Swift this week as well. The Achilles heel of that Browns D recently is the run D. The run D's been really poor in the last few weeks. Pats ran at will. You know, Ramondre Stevenson went in for 2 touchdowns, 100 yards. Mixon a couple of weeks back rushed for 2 scores against them as well. Harris had a really good outing. I know that, you know, Najee Harris is having an unbelievable rookie season, but they're a defense that you can run on. And even though Detroit aren't prolific running the ball, Swift is dynamic enough that he contributes in passing situations as well. He's the most targeted running back. He's the running back with the most receptions. I think he leads on yards as well. So, you know, he's a leading running back in that category. I think you can play him with confidence that he's going to hurt Cleveland somewhere, whether it is on the ground or whether it's through the air. I think he'll score you enough points to justify the price that you'd pay for him.
Yeah, and I think he's probably going to be the lowest owned around that sort of region, don't you think? Because I think, obviously, AJ Dillon's going to get a lot of attention. And they're actually, the matchups are very similar, aren't they? I think, in fact, Swiss is probably slightly better. So, yeah, I think it could be a nice game theory play. I think, looking down the list, last week was quite nice in terms of options, which are cheap. Obviously, if Chubb doesn't come back from COVID, then Dearness Johnson at 11.2 is the, you know, he should be 100% owned probably. But down here, there's not masses of options I'm particularly happy about. Lots of injury doubts and stuff as well.
I feel like in previous weeks, we've looked at running back and almost been salivating at the position. But this week, I look at it and outside of the sort of top 6 or 7, it just leaves me a bit, I feel like 4 receivers is probably the way I'll go this week, where previous weeks I've gone three running backs, I think, has been that's where the strength has lay.
But I think we need to pick a couple of running backs.
I would agree with
that. So I think for me, I just think Chubb is an auto lock, as it were, assuming that he's playing.
Yeah.
You happy with that?
Yeah. Slide him in.
So, and then we've got to find one more, which isn't Miles Gaskin.
AJ Dillon. Go with AJ Dillon. Yeah, throw him in. Okay, I know it'll make Jack happy.
Indeed. So, wide receiver position. As usual, Devontae Adams is at the top. Stephon Diggs had a huge game last week after me saying, are you sure you want to go back to Stephon Diggs? And then he had a massive game against the Jets. And who'd have thunk it? He'd have a great game against the worst defense. I think that was a bit of a miss on my part. Debo Samuel's just continued to be fantastic. Doesn't matter what the game script, what doesn't matter who the quarterback
is. Yards after catch are just unbelievable, aren't they?
He's unreal, isn't he? He's a classic DFS player as well, and the fact that he's got these like 11 points and 10 points, but he has these really high 30-point games as well. Who do you like on here, Nick?
Receivers again this week, even though I said about four receivers, I feel like if I can go cheap elsewhere, I feel like this is the kind of week where you almost just play it a bit chalk and just go with some of the top guys because of the matchups are just too good. AJ Brown against the Texans, perfect. Diggs came alive last week. Matchup against the Colts, perfect. You know, Jalen Waddle is there at 14.3.
Well, I think we're going to have to play him because we've got Tua anyway.
Yeah, if he's playing Tua, he has to go in. I think even if you're not playing Tua, I think there's a case to be made there for Waddle. Pittman against the Bills, 14.3, cheap still for his production that he's with what you're getting from him.
The Bills' defense, though, is very good in every single category.
It's the best.
I think it's tight end's the only one. It's not number one, isn't it? Yeah, tight end's the only one. It's not number one.
Very good. But then I suppose from a game script perspective, is this going to be a shootout? Are the Colts going to have to chase a little bit? Because if that is the case, then he could still have a productive day. I do get what you mean. I think that both the Vikings receivers, Jefferson especially in recent weeks, I think there's a case there, even though Green Bay are a very, very good defense. I think there's a case to be made there that you could start either of those.
So this is a Thielen week, if ever there was going to be one, because Thielen's target rate against zone defenses is a lot higher than against man, like almost double. And Green Bay is primarily a zone defense. So this is his week for Thielen. I know you love Thielen.
I do. I like Thielen. He finds his way into the end zone. It's one of his biggest pluses in fantasy is that you usually get the touchdown output from Thielen. You come to the end of the season and he's usually good for 9, 10, 11 touchdowns over the season. It's just hitting him on those weeks where he gets those targets. I don't think he's necessarily a 1,000-plus yard receiver guaranteed at this stage, but you might get near to that and you might get 9, 10, 11 touchdowns still out of him if you get him on one of them weeks where he's going to score perfect. It gets a little bit murky, I think, from Pittman downwards. So Smith, obviously, we said about, if he
gets Lattimore'd, then...
That's it. It puts me off. And actually, when you delve a bit deeper into Smith's stats, there's some games that leap off the page. Some games that just outright stink. So that's a worry for me. And then it's like a garbage heap of has-been receivers. Jarvis Landry, Davis, Sanders, Brandon Ayuk, Mooney, Beasley, Marvin Jones. Let's throw that one in. Get that name out there.
Let's not have that again. You got into trouble with Marvin Jones.
I like Bateman against the Bears. 10.9. Pretty fairly priced, that.
Have you got any interest in Jets receivers? The reason I say that is we're going to be stacking in Miami. Also, Dolphins are the third most fantasy points to wide receivers. Have you got any interest in any of them? Joe Flacco probably at the helm. I think he's been named, hasn't he?
Yeah, it could probably. Yeah, it could be a shootout. This could be a shootout game. Like, it would it surprise you really if the Jets come out and win?
No, not particularly.
No, and I think they're gonna. You know, for that reason, we didn't mention him, but Carter in the running backs. Miami are a good defense against running backs, but
yeah.
Again, he's involved. You want players that are going to be involved. You want players that are going to get targeted. The thing with the Jets receivers is who you start with confidence. Because from 1 week to the next, the ball could be going anywhere, whoever the hot hand is.
Corey Davis is quite expensive this week being a Jet, I think. Oh, 12 million, it's not too bad.
He is, yeah. Robbie Anderson down at 9.8 is intriguing. Mm. With Cam back at quarterback.
I feel like he's this year's TJ Hockenson of wide receivers, though. Like, people want him to do well and keep doing well and want him to be relevant, and he really isn't.
Yeah, yeah. He did not a bad week last week, did he, scoring-wise, but... I mean, he's still only 4 receptions, 37 yards. It doesn't leap off the page, does it? So, yeah, it gets a bit murky, I think, off the first page. As soon as you get past Pittman, I start looking at them receivers and thinking,
Do we need to go past that, though? Because there's so many great options here in the 14s, like Brandon Cooks.
I don't think you do. I honestly think you can pick one of the top guys that we've mentioned, and then I think you can go a little bit further down the list and pick a Pittman, pick a Waddle, pick a Brandon Cooks. You know, you can slot Bateman in, and I think you'll still have plenty of funds to spread around the team. I think it is, especially because we're going a little bit cheaper at quarterback as well this week.
Yeah, we'll try and fit in an expensive one, and maybe I think Brandon Cooks is a pretty safe bet. Or do you not think there's enough ceiling there?
The thing is with Cooks is that I like the volume he gets, but I'd probably side more to Thielen. Because of quarterback confidence more than anything, I think Kirk Cousins having a decent season, and you know, the wide receivers there, they do rack up the points. So I agree with you, Dan, by the way. Rough week for running backs and wide receivers outside the top few.
Thielen's a great correlation play with AJ Dillon as well. So let's stick him in. How much we've got left? 453. Okay, take away 8 or so. So we've got So I think we can probably pay for a top guy. I would suggest Diggs. It's got the best matchup there, or AJ Brown.
Yeah, it's between Diggs and Brown for me. I've got them both on my list for obvious reasons. I don't think it matters, Mark, who you pick out of the two. Okay. I would say...
If I was forced to, I would choose Diggs, but we could save the money with it. We'll try it with Diggs and see if we can fit in.
If my hand was forced, I'd probably do exactly the same this week.
Yeah. Okay, our favourite position, tight end.
Ooh, yes. I've actually got two tight ends on my list this week, but see who you fancy amongst this list of...
Yeah, well, funny enough... Let me just check that I've read this right. Yep, definitely. This, to me, is a TJ Hockenson week.
You caught me mid-drink then, and it was nearly all over my MacBook screen. Tell me more.
Cleveland's is quite a nice defense for fancy points against tight end. Also, I just think you're going to get him at pretty low ownership because of what he did last week. And he, you know, as much as I don't like him as a DFS play because he's so up and down and they get disappointed, I just feel this week it could be his week. I think they'll probably try and force him the ball more than they have before. You see that quite often after these things. It's the same theory with Gesicki, basically. We're probably going to end up playing Gesicki in this lineup because of our Tua, stack. But I do quite like Hockenson at 11.5.
Yeah, Gesicki makes sense if you're going to play Tua. Yeah.
Need to talk about some of these players.
Yeah, we've mentioned it, and Dan just said in the comments, running backs and wide receivers so rough this week. Mm. Talk about rough. This list of tight ends, my God. Dan Arnold is listed as fifth on this list in terms of price. Dan Arnold, if you scroll down that list, Mark, scroll down that list down to, around that area there, Troutman, Seals, Jones. That's around where Dan Arnold was last week, not price-wise, but actually where he was listed in this list. So that just shows you what tight end is like this week again. I'm just dreadful, absolutely dreadful. Mm. Don't mind Dallas Goedert. Mentioned him earlier. If you're going to play Hurts, nice stack there. It's assumed that Lattimore will shadow Devonta Smith. So Philadelphia's wide receiver too. You can start him for $10 million. Why not? I think Gesicki, I think Andrews, I think Kittle will all be fairly highly owned this week as well. Tyler Conklin, bring back that name. Tyler Conklin, I like him again this week.
I think I prefer him this week to last week.
Yeah, Green Bay giving up third most fantasy. I don't know what fantasy is. Fantasy points. Fantasy points, both the same thing. third most fantasy points to position in the last 3 weeks, interestingly. And he's actually, over his last 4 weeks, he's averaging 6 targets a game. So he's very, very involved. Yeah, Conklin, I like this week again at 9.3. I think that's a good price for him. He had a good week last week, and I feel like he's not really jumped up that much. You look at Dan Arnold's 10.5. Mm-hmm. I think he was priced around, was he like 7.5-8 million last week? He's had a jump.
What about Dawson Knox? He came back last week after injury. Didn't do much, but, you know, he's coming back from injury, and he's got a fantastic matchup again against Indy. If you think about it, when he was injured, you weren't getting him at 9.4. Mm. He was doing so. He's, if you're looking for somebody a bit different to the obvious, I think Dawson Knox might be a good play.
Yeah, I agree with that. Especially in like recent weeks, like you said, Indy have they've not been a great defense against tight ends. Third most in yards given up against tight ends.
They're just a pass funnel defense completely. So
yeah, I don't think that's a bad shout. I suppose it just. Mm. Game script's going to play a big part in that game, I think, isn't it? I think like if Buffalo managed to find a way up in the score, does it limit the receiving output? I don't know. Knox, I think coming back off that injury, I think I just want to see a week of him back to his breakout form, I think, before I start him with any kind of confidence. So me personally, Mark, I think if we've got the funds, I'd say Gesicki is my preference.
Yeah. I think we've almost got to do that, haven't we? So we've got 22. But I think we're going to be okay here, I think. We've put in a defense now. We probably won't spend too much money on a defense, will we?
What have we got left over?
We've got 22.4.
For me, when you look back at the 22.4, you can pick... We could pick a defense here that would give us a receiver at that 14 mil range. So I suppose it's whether there is another receiver at 14 mil we'd be happy with, like a Cooks, or whether we look at a receiver at 10 mil and pay up for a defense that might have a chance of scoring decent points this week.
I'm going to suggest and vote for Washington against Cam coming back. Historically, they've been quite good as well. I haven't researched this, but I was thinking it when we were talking about CMC. Washington, I think, have done pretty well against CMC in recent years. And I think there's Cam, you've got to think Cam's worth a few turnovers or so, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's as good a defense as any to play, especially how they've performed in more recent weeks versus the start of the season. It's a fairly cheap D at 7.5 as well. So yeah,
also the Saints against Philly is another cheap one as well, I think.
Yeah, I'm like you, Mark. I don't usually like paying up for a D, but the few of the ones I had on my list this week were 49ers, Titans. If I've got the money, I'm quite happy actually to pay up this week because I think the matchups that those two teams have got, you might have a good scoring week from your defense, but
if we put in the 49ers, we have 13.3. Let's go to affordable, and during that bit, you didn't like.
Yeah, that's it. So I think you've got the conundrum here is you either pay up and get a really expensive D, and get a cheaper receiver, or you pay less
like a Bateman or someone like that.
Yeah, like a Bateman, or you pay a bit less. you know, get yourself a Washington D, for example, or
let's see what we get if we put in Washington.
Even a Panthers D. I know you just mentioned Washington there, Mike, but Panthers D turned up last week against the Cards, so they're priced just above.
Mm-hmm. There you go. And then there you can get in a Cooks, a Pittman, a McLaurin, Landry even maybe. Landry's been disappointing. You keep expecting him to be this target monster that he used to be, but that hasn't been the case.
No, not for me. Not for me.
No.
I think if I was picking...
And George Kittle, again, I think he's overrated, George Kittle in fantasy realms. Montgomery, if you want to have another running back.
How much have we got left there?
14.9.
It is wasteland this week. It really is. I'm not against that Kittle play actually this week and going double tight end. I know you say you don't like him in fantasy, Mike, but I think he can pop Kittle when he gets going. Again, another yards after catch machine. Mm-hmm. If it was wide receiver, which I don't think I'd go Montgomery. I think I'd rather take the chance on a Pittman or a Cooks or a Kittle. Yeah.
I think Kittle's probably got a higher ceiling.
Yeah.
Out of all of them.
I tend to agree with Murph, and I know that you've sang his praises on the pod so far. Mm. Brandon Cooks. I'm not against Brandon Cooks. If you want to slot Brandon Cooks
Let's round out
the lineup. Then...
Let's put him in there. He's in. It's the lineup's done. We've left 300k, so we've used up our money. So we've started with Tua at quarterback. We've then picked Nick Chubb and AJ Dillon at running back. Then Waddle, Thielen, Diggs, and Cooks at wide receiver. Gesicki at tight end and Washington defense. So that could be changed for anything, really. That's a 7.8 or below. I'm far happier with this team than I was last week's team, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I think the matchups we've got throughout the team, I like the stack, I like Waddle and Gesicki with Tua. Mm. Like you said, Chubb feels underpriced there if he is good to go. Dillon this week, he's going to get the lion's share, isn't he? There's not really anything else to challenge him in the backfield. Thielen, I think Minnesota will air the ball out this week. I think game script wise, it's going to be a necessity. Diggs for me, yep, I'd have Diggs over Brown. Cooks, yeah, not a lot not to like. I think in that team, it's well constructed. It's a good balance. It's got a lot of potential for the receivers to score well.
The only downside for Chubb is if he's had COVID, that's actually made him unwell. And that's going to impact on his amount of touches and stuff. That's the only way. There's been no indication of whether he's just been one of those who's just tested positive or whether he's actually unwell with it.
Could be asymptomatic, yeah.
Yeah. I think this is really... This lineup is probably out of all the ones we've created this season, this is the one which is most based on matchups. That's why I feel looking at that. We've kind of really looked at the matchups, as it were, for it.
I think as well, because we've gone cheaper at quarterback... Like, it feels like we had a lot of... Thanks very much, Dan. It feels like we had a lot of funds to spread across the team. But I just think this week, because of... It doesn't feel like there's a lot of depth at the positions. Running back, wide receiver, in this slate anyway, there doesn't feel like there's a lot of depth. Mm. So I think maybe the trick this week is actually pay a bit less for the quarterback and... try and get yourself some nice stacks and some nice correlations together and see where it takes you. I think if you're paying up for a quarterback this week, I don't really like some of the lower tier guys that you're going to have to try and take a risk on to make it work.
Dan does always that because last week he spent most of his time moaning at us about our picks on here. So, like, thank you, Dan. We've got it one all.
Much appreciated.
And, I think before we did this, I've tried to create some lineups with, like, you know, Josh Allen, you know, and Lamar Jackson, funny enough. And I think that the construction is really hard. The pricing is really good. The difference between fantasy pricing and other DFS sites is that theirs all comes out like on Monday or Sunday night, whereas the fantasy prices come out on Thursday. So they've already taken into account a lot of injury news that's happened to that point.
Yeah.
Or even the performances on Mondays, because, you know, other sites don't even have that factored into it. So That's why I think this makes it so hard on here. But that's part of the joy of it.
Yep. Adds to the balance, Mark.
Indeed. So there you go. So that'll be one of my lineups into the 5-yard contest this week.
And that is the winning lineup. £1 is all it will cost you, but the chance to win 50.
Well, or split it with everybody else who's going to use the same lineup. So please remember to check that out. Yes, it is. Yes.
Yes. Yes, it is, Merv.
Yes, it is, Merv.
Yes, it is, Whoop. It. Yes.
And also, my big build-up about Santa turning up completely fell flat because Merv didn't make it in time. So, like...
It's a little bit early for Santa, though. Maybe Santa can come on next week and spread the festive cheers. Is it Thanksgiving next week?
Yes, Thanksgiving next
there
week.
There we go. It? Is there a more perfect time to get Santa Murph onto the show than next week, Thanksgiving?
The thing is, we were going to take advantage because Murph's had no internet all week. And so he's been desperate to get on a show because he couldn't do his normal shows. Well, I never have that much trouble at McDonald's, you know.
Mark, the McDonald's newbie. For anyone that's listening, by the way, nice story here for you that you'd think in the many years of life Mark has spent on this planet that he would have been to McDonald's more than twice, but funnily enough, he has only been twice, and the first time was actually 2 weeks ago. What possessed you to do it, Mark? Like, what makes you think after all these years, you just think, do you know what? I fancy a McDonald's today. I'm going to give it a try. Mm. You liked it so much that you went back.
Not how it happened. My 4-year-old said, because he'd been in there. So my 4-year-old had been there more than me. And he said, we should go in there. And it was a Sunday afternoon. We'd been to a birthday party. We had nothing. We didn't have any dinner cooked or anything. So I was like, let's give it a go. And now, of course, we're addicted. And...
he lives in Starbucks. You should branch out. He does live in Starbucks. Yeah.
Another funny story about that. I did a work meeting in Starbucks yesterday, and they kept all complaining because all the background music was going on in the meeting and stuff. So I had to keep myself muted. That's because the headphones weren't picking up this microphone. It's picking up the microphone from the main laptop. And I didn't realise that's the end of it. So I was kind of on mute in this whole meeting. Just because of that.
If you're spending your meetings drinking Starbucks coffee, I stand by what I said, Mark, to you in the chat the other day. You're earning too much. A nice cup of Yorkshire tea is more than enough for me. £2 for a box of 60 or whatever it is. That'll do me nicely.
Wow. Well, I feel that we've... We've definitely not been talking NFL or Fantasy for the last 5 minutes. Just our personal lives. So, nobody's watching anyway by this time. So, please remember to check out our exclusive 5-yard rush contest. Go to the link in a video and in all our socials. We'll be posting about this quite a lot before Sunday. I'm Mark Ferguson. You can find me at _SMRF on Twitter. And Nick, where can they find you, and can you give us some final words of wisdom, please?
Yes, of course. You find me on Twitter at Nick of Wigan. Remember, guys, catches for show, touchdowns for dough. And yes, Murph, we do have Starbucks in Wigan, but you do have to take out a bank loan to shop there. So we'll catch you next week, guys. Hopefully, Santa Murph will be on with us. We shall see.